Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to gather in Your house today and to be able to study Your Word and be able to get deep into the Scriptures and find that history and to understand that and how it applied so importantly to them back then and still applies to us today. Help us to have a hunger to dig deep into Your Scriptures to find that knowledge that we need to be able to walk the kind of walk You want us to be able to walk. Thank You so much for the opportunity. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 33. This, of course, is some of the last that you'll hear from Moses and before Joshua takes over. But here in chapter 33, he begins to bless the children of Israel. As it reads, "And this is a blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them." Note, for them. The law is always for us. Not a law to control them, a law to them, but a law for them. People don't understand that when they're thinking about rules and regulations and the commandments and so forth, about them actually being there for us, for our benefit. Verse 3, "Yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. He was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few." Notice he starts with the firstborn of Jacob. "And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and he be thou and help to him from his enemies." And Judah is the one that they actually name all the Jews that you hear of today. You just hear of Jews. They just sort of threw all of the children of Israel under that one category or that one name as being Jews. But that was based on Judah and his name. In verse 8, "And of Levi, he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Meshah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah." Now this Thummim and Urim, or Urim, are the instruments of the high priest, the Levitical priests, that they would wear as part of that breastplate and utilize in the communication or the decision-making of what God's will was. There's a lot of speculation and a lot of theory on how these two devices or instruments or symbols or what they were. We know there were some precious stones that were indicated 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes. And they were named in here, and they were on a breastplate. But how they were used, it's all speculation, because in the details of that, we're not really given. But generally speaking, they were to indicate that this was a high priest. So you can stand firmly on that, that the one who had that was the one that was in this position to be in communication with God and find out the will of God for the people. Verse 9. "Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brother, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, for they rise not again." That they rise not again. Now, this is all a blessing to Levi there in saying that his position be able to be secured and be able to be beneficial and stay within the will of the Lord, of course. In verse 12, "And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that croucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon." It's interesting that they include here the precious things put forth by the moon. Most people don't really think about anything growing through the night. But if you're a farmer or even somebody who has an interest in gardening, you know that things will grow. And sometimes at night when it's nice and warm and you have that dew and you have maybe a good rain before, things grow even through the night. And it's interesting that he included that here. Verse 15. "And for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." Now you got to understand, well, let me continue. "His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000s of Manasseh." When he's blessing these by name, individual names, he's blessing the people, the offspring, the family of each of these. So this is going to the family of Joseph. But he also notes down here the two boys of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were blessed directly by Jacob, that we had studied recently about adoption, and how they were singled out, not the other descendants, but put right in there, counted amongst the 12. Verse 18, "And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad, he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth arm with the crown of the head, and he provided the first part for himself, because there is a portion of the lawgiver was he seated, and he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, of Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven of thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. The underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. A blessing given to all those youngsters of all the family, all the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, also known as Jacob. The last chapter here is the chapter of the death of Moses. As it goes in, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zorah. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Note that he wasn't ill. He wasn't feeble. He wasn't out of his mind. He was healthy, but that was his sentence. His sentence was death because of what he had done, because he had gotten puffed up with pride, because there in that second miracle of getting the water from the rock, that he disobeyed the Lord, and that come upon him. Aaron had already passed away, and Moses was the last one that needed this judgment to be upon him. Now, here in verse 9, it picks up where Joshua takes over. So in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, reads, And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Nice little eulogy there, you might say, to Moses. And we know that Moses is attributed to writing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But Moses could not have written this part. Well, he could have in a prophetic way. He could have written it. But it's really attributed to Joshua finishing up and writing chapter 34 here as a little memorial to finish up the work of Moses there. And as I say, a little eulogy, you might say, capping off the end of Deuteronomy. And now Joshua winds up writing the book of Joshua, which we will be getting into next. But let's not start that today. It's really don't have enough time to start another book today. So let's go back and look at a few things in Deuteronomy. I'll ask you a few questions along the way as well. What would you consider as the major point or the major purpose of the book of Deuteronomy. If you were to sum Deuteronomy up with just a single sentence or just a few statements, what would it be that you wanted to go back and research and you were going to pick Deuteronomy to study? Why would you go to Deuteronomy? Exactly. Deuteronomy is kind of a condensed version of a recap of the teachings of that you're going to find in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So if you wanted to condense it down into one book, you could study Deuteronomy. And it gives you some of the history and gives you the moment of when they're going to go across Jordan there, the death of Moses. So it's an excellent one if you're going to do a study on the children of Israel after the Exodus, once they left Egypt, then Deuteronomy would be a good one for that. Because it is situated in a time after the 40 years. So it's after the 40 years that Deuteronomy is the teaching of Moses to the next generation, basically, and getting them up to speed, getting them up to knowledge of their history and in anticipation of what is to come for the children of Israel. So it's an excellent one for that purpose. And it is used a lot as the original source of some of these sayings that he has in here. But if you did the search, you would find that originally it was presented in either Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, or Numbers. All right, I'm going to see how much you know or remember all the way back. A simple one that if you've been in the hallway, you might know immediately. You know I'm really big on creation and the 6 days of creation and the seventh day of rest and so forth. So what day did God create the dinosaurs? Sixth day, exactly. Very good. All right. We just talked about this here recently as well. What was the name of Moses' mama? Jochebed. Of what tribe was Moses? We just went over the blessings of the 12 tribes. So of which tribe was Moses and Aaron and his sister Miriam? Of which tribe? Very important. Reason Moses was chosen. What was Moses? He was a priest, right? So what tribe is the priesthood? The Levites, exactly. The Levitical priesthood. Because Aaron and Miriam were both older than Moses, and Moses was the one that was taken in by who and raised? Who raised Moses through most of his years? Pharaoh's daughter. Very good. And how old was Moses when he struck that Egyptian dead and fled to the wilderness? 40. Very good. We just covered that last week. How long did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. So how old was Moses when he died? 120. Yeah, I left that 140 years out. I was going to see if he was listening. Because he stayed in working for his father-in-law there for 40 years before the Lord called him and into service to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. So that would have made him 120 years old when he passed away there, or was he died by the hand of God. Who buried Moses? The Lord buried him, yeah. And we don't know where. Some believe that Moses is going to be one of the two witnesses in the last days. I myself lean more toward the theory that it's going to be Elijah and Enoch. Because Enoch, what happened to Enoch? That's right. He was the first one to get raptured. All right, any other questions? No. Very good. How many books did Moses write? Yeah, what do they call those books? There's a couple different names. The Books of Law. The Books of Law is one of them. Another name. Hebrew name. The Torah. And that's what they would study as part of the law when they were studying to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a lawyer. They would study the books of the law, the five books. And then there was another set of books. There was the prophecies that were combined with that and studied as well, which were known as what? What do we know them as today? 39 of them. The Old Testament. See, these are easy. Also known as the Septuagint. But the Old Testament, and then you got the New Testament. How many years between the time that the children of Israel... See, I'm getting a little ahead of you here since I'm just eating up some time. Test you, see how much you know before we go into it. How many years was it between the time that Ezra and Nehemiah moved back into Jerusalem and the beginning of the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the New Testament?
400 years.
400 years, yes, known as the 400 years of silence. Although there are books in the Apocrypha of the original 1611 King James Version which cover some of the history of that time period, but they're not considered inspired word. They're just considered historical. So you can find out some of that history if you get yourself an Apocrypha or a copy of the original 1611 King James Version. Well, let's go ahead and pray and we'll get into Joshua next time. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to dig into your scriptures, to help us to have that foundational belief and understanding of your history there, of the history of the children of Israel, of the history of all creation all the way back. Please help us to always stay hungry to dig into that and help us to be able to remember it so that then we can turn around and share it with others. Lead, guide, and direct us as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.